The next verse we want to take is verse 5. That verse says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. The use of witnesses is very important to establish the truth in many instances. This is true in a court of law. Much of the testimony given in a modern court of law is given by persons who are acting as witnesses. The validity of evidence depends upon the truthfulness of the witnesses. Whether the defendant is judged to be guilty or innocent depends upon the testimony of these witnesses. This testimony could mean the difference between imprisonment, the death sentence, or even acquittal and freedom for the accused person. The Old Testament clearly commanded that witnesses be used in the important work of determining the truth. Numbers 35:30, whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Deuteronomy 17:6, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. Hebrews 10:28-31, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. There were false witnesses against Jesus at his trial. Matthew 26:59-61, now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Again, in Mark 14:55-59, and the chief priests and all the council sought for witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain, and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witnesses agree together. In Psalm 27:12, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. So it was prophesied that there would be false witnesses against Christ. Again in Psalms 35:11, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. And we see that false witnesses also testified against Stephen, helping to condemn him to death. In Acts 6:11-14, then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him, and caught him, and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. So we see that witnesses, true or false, play a very important part in determining someone's innocence or guilt. And of course, the false witnesses do a great injustice by giving their false testimony. The New Testament also shows that witnesses were necessary in the very important work of church discipline. Matthew 18:15-17. Talking about the discipline of the disciples under the old law, Jesus said, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou shalt gain thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. 2 Corinthians 13:2, this is the third time I'm coming to you, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before, and foretell you again, as if I were present. The second time, and being absent, now I write to them which heretofore sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. 1 Timothy 5:19, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Faithful witnesses were needed in the work of the early church. They were eyewitnesses of the Lord and gave their truthful testimony to us. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 1:21-22, when appointing an apostle to replace Judas, this verse says, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, one must be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. Again in Acts 2:32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Again, Acts 5:30-32. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. So is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. 1 Peter 5:1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. We see that the Word of God is also a witness to us. Not only are the apostles the witnesses, but the Word of God is a witness. Revelation 3:21-22. But now that the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. Romans 3:21-22, the same verse in NIV, reads it like this, but now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore we, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Psalms 33:4, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Psalms 119:104, the word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:140, the word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Psalm 119:160, the word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Proverbs 30:5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Revelation 11:3, some think that the two witnesses there are the Old and New Testaments. He says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Revelation 21:5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new, and he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. So we have seen what a faithful witness does, but what about a false witness? Our proverb here says, but a false witness will utter lies. Lies have no place among the people of God, ever. A lie is always wrong. There is never a good reason or excuse for lying. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So let us resolve to never tell a lie, but to be truthful in all things. Any teaching which conflicts with the Word of God is a lie. This false teaching is not to be used as our witness. If we teach it, we are a liar. Let us remember that we are going to be a witness of some kind, either a true witness, a faithful witness, or a false witness. And we never know who is listening to us, who may be influenced by the things we say or the things we do. Let us at all times be sure that what we say and what we do is something that is a positive influence toward the truth, something that is verifying and bearing out the truth, something that will not be misleading to anyone who should follow us, something that's going to be pleasing to God, something that's going to be according to the Bible, according to God's will. That's what it's going to take for us to be a faithful witness. Now, we can just inadvertently be lax, be sloppy in our actions, and allow ourselves to become a false witness. We can be a witness that will lead somebody astray, that will cause somebody to actually miss the mark and maybe even lose their soul, just because we have carelessly played the part of the false witness. So let's be double sure that we are not doing that. Let's not even venture a real opinion on something unless we have good basis, good grounds for doing it. What would the Bible say? What would God's will be here? What does God want us to do here? That's the kind of statement we should be making, not just some off-the-cuff opinion that could turn out to be very false, very wrong, very misleading, and do somebody some harm. Our witness is going to be something of value, something that can be taken and used for a benefit, or it's going to be something to destroy and harm and injure. It's not just dormant and indifferent and doesn't have any kind of meaning. It's going to have meaning. Somebody's listening, somebody's paying attention to it, and so we need to be aware of the fact that we're bearing witness whether we like it or not. We're bearing witness. Make our witness true. Make our witness genuine and not be a false witness. We're actually telling a lie when we're bearing false witness. And we know what's going to happen to all liars. So our verse says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. And it's just as important when we're receiving testimony from someone to try to determine if that person is telling the truth or not. Is that person a false witness? Is that person uttering lies? Is that person saying things that is information I cannot use, I cannot trust it, I cannot depend upon it? Am I going to use that false information in such a way as to bring harm to someone else if I pass the accusation along or if I act upon the accusation? Or is that person telling me the truth? Is that person really giving me good information here that I can use and base my actions on and be in the clear because this person is a faithful witness? Let's be keen to try to determine if we're receiving information that's true information or that's false information. We simply cannot afford to believe or to act upon information received from a false witness. That's our lesson. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.